I know I have a big mouth, but okay. Thanks, Matt. Tim and the elders here at this congregation have afforded me an opportunity to stand before you this morning on the eve of a new beginning, establishing a Spanish ministry here at Bay Area. Amen. First, I would like to thank God for the privilege to be able to testify of the greatness that He has in store for us here at this congregation as we embark on this new beginning. Secondly, I'd like to thank Tim, Randy, and Marcia for their father having the dream of the day that this congregation would one day have a Spanish ministry, and for the elders here who had the wisdom, the prayer, the support, and the openness in their heart to bring this into fruition. If you can't tell, I'm pretty excited today. My family is excited, and I hope that we all are excited about what God is about to do with us. Some of you may be wondering, why are we going to start a Spanish ministry? What is the meaning of this? Some of you may be saying, but I don't speak Spanish, and I don't think that I'll be able to. Some of you may be anxiously asking amongst yourselves, what can I do to help and contribute? By the end of this message, I hope to have answers to all of these questions and clarify why God is giving us this opportunity to serve Him. I'm going to ask you to bear with me this morning and try to keep your mind focused on what God is saying and separate what God says from what the world says. Now, if you look at this passage long enough that's up here from Acts, the fourth chapter, if you stare at it long enough through the eyes of what you read on the internet or on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or your favorite cable network, or through the ears of what you listen to around kitchen tables or on your syndicated podcasts or TED Talks or worldly people in power preaching from their bully pulpits, this paragraph might seem like it is a page torn right out of the leftist, socialist, communist playbook. Take from the rich and redistribute to those in need. Sound familiar? Well, this is one of the biggest contentions in our society today. And again, we need to understand and how to discern and separate the society from us as Christians. The other big contention in our society centers around immigration and how this world wants us to feel about that. But for this morning, I'm going to ask you for the next 60 minutes. Just kidding, Tom. Tom was about to come down here and yank me off immediately. But for the next 20 minutes or so, I'm going to ask you to turn off the cell phone of your heart and block all incoming calls from your worldly consciousness, and just for a moment, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. The background for today's lesson is centered on Acts the 2nd through the 4th chapters. But I'm focusing this morning on Acts the 4th chapter and verse 33, where it says, with great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. I intend to show you just how much we can get done here on earth as it relates to God's will, if only we allow the grace of God to powerfully work within each and every one of us. One of the most powerful moments on the day of Pentecost we tend to take for granted when Christ established his church in Jerusalem was that moment in Acts, the second chapter, verses 7 through 12, when those that were gathered there were utterly amazed. Why were they amazed? They were amazed because each of them from all parts of the known world were understanding Peter and the apostles in their own native language. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Now, let's not confuse this with what the world may say or define as tongues. What he's talking about here, they were speaking in other languages that people could understand. This was not mumbo jumbo and shiggy-de-biggy-be and boobity-boobity. As you read, each one of them heard in their own language. This is what amazed them. This is what was so powerful, because they understand God's message of who Christ was in their own. So why are we starting a Spanish ministry? What does this mean? It means that we have a very large population of immigrants. From this point on, I'm going to use immigrants interchangeably with human beings. We have a large population of human beings who live among us, who do not speak our language, who have different customs, different culture, different behaviors, different norms. We as English speakers, who are also human beings in this country, we have been blessed to come to know who Jesus is, that he is the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, he is our Messiah, he's our Redeemer, he's our Savior. With this responsibility, with this knowledge, comes the responsibility to share this knowledge with the world and with everyone everywhere, to include the people that sit right at our doorstep. We're all familiar with this great commission that Jesus gave not only his disciples, but all of us. Go and make disciples in all nations, teaching them, baptizing them. Nothing but verbs here for each and every last one of us as believers. We have a responsibility to go. We have a responsibility to make. We have a responsibility to teach, and we have a responsibility to baptize. Who and where? Everywhere. All nations, all men. This is why we are starting and doing what we're doing here. The Statute of Liberty says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. Emma Lazarus didn't make that up. Before there was Emma Lazarus, before Lady Liberty came on the scene, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Where followers of Christ went wrong in this country, and please bear with me, was when Christians decided that the sharing of the gospel should be based upon race and ethnicity, and not based upon faith in Christ. We all can admit that it was a mistake to segregate the body of Christ based upon race, and then say that we are Christians, and that this separation is Christ-like. In doing so, we did a lot of damage in the name of Christ that tarnished the name of Christ. In the name of Christ, we built houses of worship for people to worship where certain people didn't want to worship with. And since then, our society has continued to perpetuate the false narrative that we cannot worship together, we cannot share together, we cannot have all things in common together like the believers did on the day of Pentecost. Unfortunately, to this day, Sunday is still the most segregated day in our nation. But this Spanish ministry that we are about to establish here in this congregation will not be like the ones that this society has established in the past. We are learning from their mistakes. Although we are starting off with Spanish services, the end result will not be Spanish-speaking members worshiping over there and English members working over here. There will literally have to be a come-to-Jesus moment for each and every one of us to make this work. Every last one of us will have to do our best. Every last one of us who speak English, we will have to do our very best to meet these Spanish speakers where they are and to help them understand the love of God. We will be doing everything that we can to learn their language. In like manner, the Spanish-speaking people will have a responsibility to share the love of God with English-speaking people and help them to understand their Spanish language and help them to understand their Spanish cultures, customs, and beliefs. When we all follow or allow the grace of God to powerfully work in each of us, we will be able to build that spiritual bridge that allows us to communicate, to share, to love, and to worship our God in spirit and in truth. What will not happen is that we will all be sitting here one day, and then all of a sudden, a mighty rushing wind will blow through here as a spirit of fire and miraculously fill us with a miraculous ability to speak other languages and communicate miraculously. That is not going to happen. What will have to happen is that all of us will have to work. All of us will have to get out of ourselves. We'll have to get out of our comfort zones. We'll have to get out of our norms and ourselves and allow the grace of God to work powerfully inside of us. You know, there will be some that would like to hide behind that old colloquial saying that, but Brother Akira, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, we're not talking about dogs nor animals. And we definitely aren't talking about tricks. Tricks are for rabbits. Silly kids. When men forget about the power of the resurrection, when men forget about the power of the blood that was sacrificed for all men, he or she forgets about the inclusion of what is required to show the world that we as Christians are different. We as Christians are set apart from the world. We don't do what everyone else does. We don't do what is popular. We don't do or go according to what a census says or a poll says or what society says. We're different. When you hear the words diversity, equality, inclusion, because of our society right now, when you hear those words, it triggers a worldly response. The world kicks in, and immediately we start drawing these lines in the sand that pits us against them. This has always been the adversary's primary tool of success in causing God's people to stray. It goes back to the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, when the adversary caught the woman by herself, separate from Adam, and he was able to manipulate God's word and bring that division between the two and what God said. And that division is what brought sin into this world. And to this day, this is the tool that the adversary continues to use. So when society draws these lines, and we as Christians put ourselves in those same lines, we are putting ourselves in an alliance in a power that is not of God. But when Peter, along with his doubt as to who should be entitled to God's glory, God's mercy, God's grace. God had to show Peter that, Peter, this is not just for you and those that look like you. And God showed Peter. And then Peter himself had to declare, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. That is a powerful passage of scripture. It is a powerful testament. Peter himself had to be shown by God that, Peter, your sense of dividing lines amongst people and races and creeds and language is false. And when God showed him, he was convinced that I now know that God does not show favoritism like this society does, based upon groups, based upon ideas. God is not like that. And you all familiar with Paul, he says the same thing. They are neither bond nor free nor slaves, male nor female, Jew or Gentile. Those of us that have been baptized into Christ are one. Some of us as Christians have forgotten this. Just like the Jews of Jesus' day had forgotten how merciful and how generous our God is. Some of us too have forgotten, and they have dove deep down into us against them mentality. And they say, but they are different from us. They are not from here. They don't speak our language. They don't share our values. They're not American. They're foreigners, for Pete's sake. They should not be entitled to the same benefits that we've worked so hard for. Newsflash. All of us as believers in Christ are foreigners in this sinful world. Our citizenship as believers is not in America. It's in heaven. None of us have ever worked hard enough, nor will we ever do enough to merit the grace, the mercy, the favor, the forgiveness, the adoptions as sons of an inheritance that we have been freely given through the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. What we've allowed to do, some in our society, is we've allowed our Americanism to be conflated with Christianity. We've allowed our patriotism to be conflated with Christianity. I've served in the military, fighting America's wars for nearly four decades as an infantryman. I am a patriot by that definition. But being a patriot is not who I am, nor is it what defines my life. It only describes what I did or what I do. I was born here in America, and that, in essence, makes me what? An American. But being American doesn't define who I am. What defines my life, what defines who I am, is my confession of faith in Christ Jesus, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he is my personal Savior. My citizenship is not of this world. It is in Christ. When I'm out in the world trying to preach and teach and share who Christ is, I'm not trying to teach anyone how to become an American citizen. I'm not teaching them about red, white, and blue. I'm teaching them about red, the blood that Christ shed upon that cross for all of us. I'm trying to teach them and show them a love that is not of this world, a love that is out of the norm, out of society, a love that is reminiscent of the song that we sing that tells a story about our God, who is alive. In him we live, in him we survive. From dust, our God created man. I'm trying to tell the story that he is our God, the great I am. This is the purpose of this Spanish ministry here, of what we are trying to do and what we are trying to establish in this congregation, specifically at Bay Area. We're going to continue to show the world and this community in particular who we are and what is possible with God through Christ. And that this is the congregation that is going to lead the way. Amen? Amen. When Jenny and I first moved to Tampa 3 years ago at MacDill Air Force Base, I told Jenny, I said, here's what we're going to do. I mean, you know how military are. We plan everything out. Before we go anywhere, what we're going to do is get on the internet and find all the churches of Christ, put it on the wall, and start visiting. We had a list and said we're going to start seeing and determine and figure out where we fit in. Where can we make a church home and find that church family? And we searched web pages over and over, but one page in particular stood out. It was Bay Area's. When we opened the page, we saw a diverse membership that looked like a place where we could possibly fit in. We weren't looking for a congregation based upon race. We were looking for a congregation based upon believers. I told Jenny that we'd start here with Bay Area. But immediately, the first time we came, as we were walking out, Bert caught me at the door. He made his way over there. He said, you're not going anywhere. You're going to come to my house and have dinner. And there we were in Bert's house. Bert and I were in the swimming pool with my children, who he didn't know, but he was treating them like they were his own grandchildren. He and Jeannie made us feel welcome. Not soon after that, Daryl invited us over to his house, and Faye cooked some smothered turkey wings and collard greens and induced us into a chemical coma to where we couldn't move. And then Beulah started sending text messages to Jenny in Spanish to try to encourage her and let her know that she was welcomed here. Oh, Chris invited me out to the Sugar Shack and introduced us to Big Country and gave us that old time, that Big Country fellowship, and sat me beneath those majestic oak trees. And Chris knows how much I love oak trees. And he shared with us bread and love. And he introduced me to the prison ministry and took me out there to help reach and save wretched souls who were in need of help. Sohail took my little daughter and paired her up with his granddaughter so that they could build a Christian friendship.
I could go on and on about the many acts of love and kindness that Bay Area shows to its members. The acts that we live out, which is a representation of the theme of this congregation, Acts 2:42. But needless to say, we never made it to any other congregation for a visit. We knew that Bay Area was going to be our home, and we have been here ever since. All that to say what, Okira? That this is the place to be at Bay Area. This congregation, the members here, demonstrate what the first century was all about. With this Spanish ministry, this congregation is going to continue to be a part of the future of going, of making, of teaching and baptizing the world in which we live. This Spanish ministry is not an Okira ministry. It's not an elder ministry. It's not a Tim ministry. This is a Bay Area ministry. And if we're going to prevent what has happened in the past to where there's an us against them, we're going to have to get our hands dirty. Now, I'm looking across the audience and just looking at the shades of gray. I mean, I have my shades. Mine is grayish, blackish. Soon it'll be white. But no matter what your shade or strain is, or if you don't have any, Tim, every human being has a capacity to love. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you're accustomed to doing. If we believe, like the Christians, if we believe in the grace of God, if we allow the grace of God to work powerfully in us, we'll be able to testify to the power of the resurrection of Jesus and what he's able to raise up. He's raising this up. This is not Okira's idea. Many of you have prayed about this. Many of you desired to. Many of you have been working this already. All we're going to do in the future is collectively share this gospel news, share this resurrection of Jesus with everyone that we can. And language will not be a barrier. This is only the beginning. And I thank you, Bay Area. I thank you, elders. I thank you, Tim. I thank you, members, for the love that you've shown my family to make us feel a part of the Christian family. Because this is what you do. This is what you've shown. And I am confident that everyone is going to contribute to make this a success. Thank you again. May God bless you as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.